This week, the Sedra is Parshas Korach. Korach starts a rebellion against Moshe. The Torah tells us, Vayikach Korach, and Korach took himself, took his friends, 250 men, and he comes and he stands in front of Moshe, and he complains, Lama tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Why do you lord it over the congregation of God? We know that what he really wanted. He wanted the kahuna. He wanted the priesthood. Moshe says to him, okay, everybody tomorrow come with a pan of incense, and the one whom God chooses will be the chosen, and all the others are going to die. So, nobody was daunted, right? They came the next day, Korach, his family, and the 250 men, and they stood in front of Moshe, and of course, only one person was left alive, Aaron. Korach had thought that he was going to be the one to be left alive. The Medrash says, you know, that's, he believed Moshe, but Moshe said only one person is going to come out alive, but he thought it was himself. So the Medrash says, V'Korach shepikuch choyo, and Korach, who was such a clever man, a pikeach means a man with vision, opened eyes. Ma ro'o lishtus hazeh. What did he see to do such a stupid thing, going head to head with Moshe? Elo einoi hato'osoi. His eye led him astray. Ro'o shal sheles gedoiloi medes him, and he saw this chain of greatness coming out of him. Shmuel, he saw the prophet Samuel. Shishoku k'moshe v'aaron, who is the equivalent of both Moshe and Aaron together, as it is written there in Tehillim in Psalm 99, Moshe v'aaron b'choyanov, Moshe and Aaron in his priesthood, u'shmu b'koreshmoy, and Shmuel in the calling of the name. And he saw esrim v'arba mishmoiris, he saw 24 watches of Levites, Oimdois mibnei bono, that he, coming out of his children, as it's written in 1 Chronicles, Kol Eila bonim lehemon, all these are the sons of Hamon. And how does it say it exactly? Kol Eila bonim lehemon choyza hamelech. Hamon was the seer, the prophet of the king. B'divrei Elikim, anything to do with God, then David HaMelech would consult Haman. Lahorim Koren, to raise the horn. To raise the horn means to consult the divine. Vayitain Hu Elikim LeHaman, and God gave Haman Bonim Arbo'osa, 14 sons, Zubonois Sholosh, and 3 daughters. Kol Eile Alidei Aviyem B'Shir, and all these sons, maybe daughters also, they accompanied their father. They were at their father's hand when it came to the singing Beis Hashem. The mitziltaim, nevolim, kinoires, you know, with drums and whistles and flutes and violins and all the la'avodas Beis Elokim alidei Amelech. So, what David Amelech did, he took the sons of Haman and he made them the chiefs of the music. And you know, we have many psalms that begin Livnei Korach. So Rashi says, and the Medrash says, that these 24 watches, and in each watch I think was 1,000 Levites, and they, you know, they performed, each watch had 1 week, twice a year. And Shekulam Misnabim Beruach HaKodesh, the Medrash says, that all these Levites, the thousands of Levites that came from the family of Korach, they were all prophesying with the Holy Spirit. So Omar Korach said, Efsha HaGedulah Haziyah Sidol Lamoid Mimeni Va'ani Edom. Well, all this greatness is going to come out of me, and I am going to just be silent. V'loi ro'o yofu. The Medrash says he didn't see good. L'fi shebonav osu tshuva. His children did teshuva and they didn't die. V'oim dimehen. And so the great, you know, Samuel, the prophet, and these thousands of Levite musicians, they are going to be the children of his children. But Moshe could see what was going to happen. So then, that's what gave him the guts to stand up against Moshe, even though Moshe had foretold that only one of them is going to survive this test, and all of them are going to die. Korach thinks, well, I'm going to be the one. So, we've talked in the past what it means, Einoi hatosoi, that his eye fooled him, led him astray. The Medrash calls him Pikeach, you know. We make a brocha in the morning, Pikeach Ivrim. You know, the God makes the blind to see, right? So, This Korach, he's a pikeach. He's got his eyes open. We know that Korach was one of the men who carried the oroin. So whenever the tabernacle was deconstructed, right, pulled apart, and the Eden moved from camp to camp, so the oroin, the ark with the cherubs on it, and the Ten Commandments inside it, was carried on the shoulders of men, four men, eight men, I don't know how many it was. Korach was one of those, and we know that Ha'orin Noises Noisov, that the ark used to carry its carriers, so their feet didn't touch the ground. So what were they doing when they were carrying the Orion? They were singing. As they walked through the desert, everybody following the Orion, Korach was singing. He was the great shalsheles. He was the great musical note. So the Medrash says that Korach took these 250 men and he dressed them all in talesim that were made of pure blue wool. And he came and he stood in front of Moshe. And he said, Moshe, these talesim, which are made of blue wool, which incidentally is the source, I think, of the legend that Korach was the richest Jew of his age, you know, because Tcheles, you know, is very expensive. Very, very expensive, this dye. So to dye a whole, it was called royal blue for nothing, you know, it's royal blue. The only thing more costly than the blue was the purple, which commoners weren't even allowed to wear, the royal purple. But this is fantastically costly to make such an elaborate theatrical kind of demonstration. So they've got these talesim that don't have tzitzis. Comes to Moshe and he says, talis shekula tcheles, Chayevis b'tzitzis, a talis which is made of blue wool, does it need to be wrapped, to have tzitzis? He could have asked the question without bringing the 250 talis. Moshe says, Chayevis. So they all start laughing. If you've got one thread of blue wool, it's enough to pattern the whole talis, you don't need anything else, right? put the tzitzis, you can keep the talus, what the color that it is, just so long as you have tzitzis, and in the tzitzis, which is 8 threads, you have one blue thread, it's enough. If the whole talus is made of blue wool, you're going to tell me I need another tzitzis hanging off? Silly. Then he asked another question. Bais malis forim. If you have a room full of holy books, does it need to have a mezuzah on the door? And Moshe said, chayevis. It has to. So they start laughing. You know, if you've got one little piece of parchment that says Shema Avohim Shemoya, the two first paragraphs of the Shema written on it, it's enough. The whole room doesn't have to have anything else in it. If you've got the room is packed full of holy books, Torahs, why should it need to have on the door a little piece of parchment with Shema Avohim Shemoya? Obviously, in this argument, Korach with Moshe is not just a theatrical argument. There's more going on. In the past, we've talked about the fact that on the surface, Korach's argument is when we came out of Egypt and we were so empty and we were so pagan, we needed you, Moshe, and your brother and your sister. We needed leaders, because we needed to be led. But we all stood at Sinai. And we all heard the same Torah you heard. So, we don't need you anymore. Lama tisnaso akal Hashem, why this leadership, this whole hierarchy that's been set up here, and especially Aaron with the kahuna, Ramamela, Moshe, he's a great teacher and God is talking to him. But why do we need the priestly clan? So, this year I want to go a little bit deeper. Was hat Korach gemeint? You know, throughout the sojourn, the journeys in the wilderness, the tribe of Levi never got involved in any of the controversies with Moshe when they were arguing about water, when they were arguing about food, when they were arguing about this, when it came to the Meraglim, when it came to the spies. The tribe of Levi was never involved in any controversy. And in fact, according to the Gemara, the Levites didn't die out in the 40 years and they all went into the land. Of the whole tribe of Levi, you know who's dying out? Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Even by the big broch, right? By the great catastrophe, by the worshipping of the gold calf, the Bnei Levi, the sons of Levi, the tribe of Levi, was completely uninvolved. And Moshe says, Mila Shem Eli, who's for God come to me? And the whole tribe of Levi come to him, and nobody worshipped the gold calf, had anything to do. Korach can see if Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam are not going to the land and the tribe of Levi is going to the land, then it's him. He's the boss. He's the leader. Like the Medrash says, that from the tribe of Levi, the family of Kahas were the Mufcha, were the chosen. And from the family of Kahas, Korach was the leader of the tribe of Levi. So, if the chesed side, if the side of pure love is dying out because they're not allowed into the land, then the gevurah side takes over. And since the Levi represents gevurah, the left side, the stringent side, and Korach is the most stringent of the stringent, so, going into the land, you know, the land is Yitzchak. The land is Gevurah, right? Yitzchak is the father that's not allowed to step outside the land of Israel, right? Neither in his life nor in his death, because the land of Israel is Gevurah. So, Korach can see the portents. But what does the Medrash mean when it says Einoi hatosai. I think the Chachamim are getting at something really deep. In the past, we've talked about, you know, what it is, why we went down to Egypt. What was it that we learned in Egypt that was so important to us, that we're still struggling with Egypt? When we came out of Egypt, we couldn't stay there one more minute. And Yinatzlu es Mitzrayim, the Torah says that they completely emptied Egypt. Kimitzula she'im boi dogon, kimitzula she'im boi dogim. They emptied it like a granary that had no more wheat in it, or a net that had no more fish in it. We took with us everything good. We took with us everything that was necessary for the building of the Jewish people, the holy sparks that had fallen down, that had fallen to the lowest place, the divine energy, which was really wrapped up in the culture of Egypt. We absorbed all the good bits, and we came out of Egypt. So Korach says, one of the things that happens in Egypt is that we objectify people and we personalize objects. That's what the Egyptian magic is. Yeah, you take a person and you turn them into a thing, right? With statues and the whole cult of the personality, where the personality becomes an idol. That's the whole Egyptian thing. And then you take things and you give them all kinds of ritual importance, and you endow them with a personality. He says, that's what we're doing with the kahuna. That's what we're really doing with the kahuna. We're taking Aaron and we are objectifying him as some kind of objectifying him as an object, right? And we take these tzitzis, we take these things, and we personalize them like they have some kind of a meaning. So, who was Korach? Korach, the reason he is like he is because he's above such things. He's above objectification and he's above personalization, because he's the source of music. Music, we know, we've been learning many times that music is the highest sphere, right? You have the sentences in the Torah, but you know, the sentences in the Torah are made of words. So the words are more primal, but the words are made of letters. The letters are more primal than the words. And the letters are made of sounds. So the sounds are more primal than the letters. And every sound is a musical note. And the music is the primal. So before there's a Torah of sentences and words and letters, there's a Torah of pure music. And the creativity that's involved in making music is very different from the creativity that's involved in making a pair of tzitzis or writing a Sefer Torah. So Korach's complaint is really, we're debasing Judaism with these objects. We're debasing Judaism with these personalities. He goes to these chevra, he goes to these people, and he says to them, you know what you're missing? You're a big Ovid Hashem, you worship God, but you've really no idea how high worship can be. And he explains to people, how does he explain to them? He says, come, let me sing you a niggun, let me sing you this song. When Korach would sing you this song, you'd go, gewalt. Whatever it is you're smoking, Korach, I want it. And Korach would say, that's nothing. That's just the first level. Let me sing you another niggun. Korach could take a person and just open you up so that your soul will manage to fly out. And then you feel like you've been opened up and that your soul is flying out. Korach would say, you think that's it? Segunisht, I'm telling you, there's more. Korach said to the Yidden, we're being kept back by the priesthood being given to Aaron HaKohen. We're all being denied. We should all be given the opportunity. Every Yid should be given the opportunity to rise spiritually, get up and work himself through all the different levels to the level of what is the ultimate? To enter into the Holy of Holies once a year on Yom Kippur. How come there's no way that a Jew can reach that, right? How come I can't do that? There should be some way in the Torah, you know, that you're 59 years old, you go and live with the Kohenim for a year, and then they teach you, and if they feel like you're very reserve, then you should be able to do the Avodah for one day in the Beis HaMikdash. You should be able to do, you know, offer the sacrifice. Why? There's no mechanism for such a thing. You know, what Korach is experiencing, and this is what's happening here in this Sedra, all the arguments that the Jewish people had with Moshe and Aaron, and we came, we complained, and we fought with them, we quarreled. It was all about things that we needed to make those mistakes, because only that generation could learn from the mistakes in such a way that we don't have to make that mistake again. Korach, if you look at the story that happens here, first of all, Korach and his men, all, you know, something new happens, the earth opens up and swallows them, and then after that's happened, then we start complaining to Moshe, right? You made it happen. It's your fault. And so God says to Moshe, take all the staffs from each of the tribes and put the staffs, each of the tribe had like a totem pole, right? Take them and put them into the sanctuary and come back, leave them overnight, and in the morning, the one that has burst into flower and fruited, that's the one. Yeah, of course, it was the Mata Aaron, the staff of Aaron. Why do we need to have, after Moshe had shown the whole people what happens if you argue against the priesthood, you know, that you get swallowed up by this bizarre, you know, occurrence, still people are arguing, and it needs some kind of a miraculous show, a display. None of the other mitzvahs in the Torah needs a miraculous display. See, Korach is coming with a brand new machloikas. He says, I'm not interested in water or meat or man. I'm not interested in anything. You know, I want kedusha. I want holiness. I feel like you're holding me back. I want his holiness. I feel like, given the right opportunity, I could be as holy as Aaron. Anybody could be as holy as Aaron. He convinces everybody that it could all be as holy as Aaron. That's a whole new kind of tava, right? You know, we talk in so often about the desires, you know, that the ultimate desire of the ancient world was the desire for paganism, and how deeply people were affected by it, and how it twisted them around and made them, you know, weird, and the things that people did in order to worship idols, and how, you know, addictive it was. Korach is discovering something new. He says, you know, there is a desire that you can have for holiness which is just as powerful It's just as powerful as the biggest drug. And as soon as he turned people onto it, they were all turned on. I think the Yismach Moshe used to say that he remembers from a previous Gilgul, he remembers his incarnation. He told the Hasidim, I was there. He said, you should know that most of the Yidden were with Korach, even though we were afraid to go up against Moshe, but we sympathized with Korach's rebellion. And the Hasidim said to him, Rebbe, but you must have known better, right? He said, no, I was neutral. I was going to see who was going to win. I mean, it wasn't clear to people that Korach was going to lose at all. And everybody felt that Korach had such a good argument. Ki kol ha'edo kulam kedoshim. He says the whole congregation are holy. U'betoicham Hashem. And God is inside each person. Everybody has access to the divinity inside them. So why can't we all approach the speed of light, right? Why can't we all be accelerated to this holiness that Aaron has been given? So this is a whole new kind of rebellion, right? And Korach is going out on a limb. And you know, in nature there's nothing square. There's no such thing as a square. You can't get a talus that grows on a tree. Or anything square that happens in nature. Doesn't exist. So the talus is a symbol of an unnatural thing. It's a symbol of something that is going out of the natural. And in a sense, you know, what the talus tells us is that when you move out from the center, you need something. You need protection. You need something to look at. You need something to objectify so that you don't lose track of where you're going. And also, you know, yeah, when you're in a room that doesn't have a door, you don't have to have a mezuzah. But as soon as the room has a door and you can leave, you need a mezuzah on the door. So Korach is about to go into a whole new place. He's leaving the center, he's going out through the door, and he's pushing beyond the round of the natural, and he's saying, Chevra, we can all achieve the kind of holiness that Aaron HaKohen has. And what is the holiness that Aaron HaKohen has? The ultimate sacrifice is to be able to offer incense in front of God. The incense is the Keturah Dekoila. The incense is the amalgamation of all the smells, even the really smelly smells, even the asafetida or whatever that smells really bad. But when it's put in a tiny amount into the Keturahs, into the incense, all comes together to make this smell you could die for, right? This reach nichoyach of all the karbanot, of all the offerings that a priest gets to offer, that's the ultimate one, and that's all that the high priest does when he goes into the Holy of Holies, the sanctuary, on once a year on Yom Kippur. He puts down a fire pan full of coal, and on the coal is incense. And Korach says, he explains, by the time Korach has finished telling you and me what it means to offer Ketores, we're all ready to die for opportunity to do that. But you see, Korach's holiness is called Machlekes Shelo L'Shem Shemayim. It's an argument not for the sake of heaven. Because the way Korach goes about it, what does he do? He makes this theatrical display. I mean, why doesn't he come to Moshe and ask him to speak privately and have an appointment and say, Moshe, I feel like you're holding me back? Why does Korach have to make this this whole theatrical, you know, humiliation of Moshe. Because he wants Moshe to get really angry so that he can split Moshe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, when I think about some of the psychotic things that psychotic people do, almost all of them are about splitting people. You know, the psychotic in the family, the psychopath or the whatever it's called, you know, will try and split the parents. Like somebody was, I was talking to this Yid who was here in Shabbos. He works at a local prison, you know, and he says, and the prisoner will try and get me to give him a candy. If, as soon as I've given him a candy, I've broken the rules. As soon as I've broken the rules, he can split me off from the Department of Corrections, and he owns me, right? Or he said that once he was walking down a corridor, and through a window, a prisoner showed him a needle. And he said, why did you do that? So the prisoner said, well, you don't have to report me. He said, you know, I do. If I don't report you, you own me, right? I mean, there's the sick mind will always try and split the unity of the parent. And Korach comes here, and everything that he's doing is trying to split Moshe from Aaron, split Moshe and Aaron from God, from split the Jewish people away from Moshe. I mean, this is a really, really sick way of approaching. What is Aaron? Aaron is Oyev Shalom v'Roydev Shalom. What does it mean, Oyev Shalom v'Roydev Shalom? When Aaron would make peace with between people, then, like, imagine a poor man and a rich man, right? And the poor man goes to the rich man to ask him for something. The rich man says, "I don't have it on me." And the poor man says, "Ah, you're lying. You're just mean." You know, and there ends up a quarrel, right? Aaron HaKohen hears about the quarrel. And he comes and he speaks to the two of them privately. You know, he says he didn't really mean what he said, and you know, whatever. By the time Aaron is finished speaking, then the rich man goes chasing after the poor man to say, "Please be my friend. Let me give you some money." Aaron is Oyev Shalom v'Roydev Shalom, that there's a redifus, that there's a kind of running after. That by the time Aaron has finished reconciling the God and the sinner, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes running to the sinner, says, "Please let me pour my bounty on you. Let me bless you through Aaron. Let me pour my blessing directly on you." Aaron, when he made peace between people, the more powerful one will come running to be able to bestow the blessing on the weaker one, on the poorer one. And he would be desperate to like hug him and draw him close. See, that's the real meaning of Kedusha. We all have Kedusha inside us, right? Which is oneness. But the Kedusha that's in Korach is nothing like the Kedusha that is in Aaron. And he can't see that. Because to Korach, the image, the person, you've turned him into an object. You've turned the object into the thing you've personalized. Because Korach is in the world of music. If you imagine closing your eyes and you're living only in the world of sound, Kedusha, holiness and oneness means something entirely different than if you're living in the world of the eyes. Kedusha, oneness is about the things that you see and how you see them. When you're living in the world without eyes, you're living in the world of sound, you know, Kedusha is a piece of music, right? It's a completely different world that Korach is in. Einoi hato'osoi, the problems that he sees. He's trying to see a Yiddishkeit without things. He says, "We don't need things. We don't need our eye. We don't need to." The whole civilization of Uri'isem Oisoi. What does it say in the Shema? Uri'isem Oisoi. You'll see it, Uzechartem, and you'll remember. And you won't follow your eyes, and you won't follow your heart to do bad. And you'll remember that I brought you out of Egypt. So for us, as we've talked about in the past, the eyes, I mean, the whole Egyptian culture was based on things you could see, the eye, right? And Korach is never there, that's never his thing. But you and I, we live in the world of the eye. And we have to see. And one of the things that we can see, you know, if I take a stick and I plant it in the ground and I water it and the sun shines on it, it's never going to turn into a tree. I take a walking stick and I plant it in the ground, it's not going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, take all the sticks and put them inside the sanctuary, and the one that has life inside it, the one that has life inside it, that's the one that's going to burst into bud and turn into a tree with fruit hanging off it by the next morning. And the others, they don't have it. Aaron HaKohen, God says, Aaron HaKohen, he's an individual who has inside him a kind of holiness that is a true oneness that brings everybody together. And Korach has a great holiness in him, but all it can do is split people from people. I think, you know, when I look around the world and I look at the Yidden today in the world, the Yidden that I most admire are the Yidden that bring Yidden together. People that bring people together. And those, you know, those streams of Judaism, or those derech, ways of worshipping God, which involve in any way whatsoever a split, that's not the way. The only way to worship God is the way of Aaron HaKohen, Ohev Shalom, the Roide Shalom, to make it to the point that those who have the Torah should want to run after those who don't have the Torah to give it to them, and those who have money should be running after those who don't have money, wanting to give it to them, and those who hate in the past should want to run after those that they hated to give them love. We should be among them. Shekoyach.